Stores at El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond to find you a realm that other talk shows dare not invade. And that's what this is all about with our show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, and they shan't. And by the way, 1 week from tomorrow morning, 1 week from tomorrow morning, we'll be on Fox and Friends. We will not be on Fox and Friends tomorrow morning because the Radio Rumble will not be happening. It's been preempted for something else, but we'll be on Fox and Friends a week from tomorrow a.m. And we want to thank Gary Lycan for a beautiful piece in the Orange County Register. Beautiful review of our show. Thank you so much, Gary. And a lot of the good people out there in the print world giving us tons of love. Don Anthony's morning show, Boot Camp, we will be at in Miami at the end of the month. Then I'm visiting my relatives in Toronto, Canada. And I hope that that cat up there, what's his name, Strombo, lets me go in and watch the show, whatever.
How do you pronounce that guy's name, anyway?
I don't know. Strombolopoulos. Seriously. No, George, you know that you have to do that. And anyway, so thank you all. Let's get down to it here tonight. We're back from vacation. Lots to get to. Yes, I know all about Anthony Weiner. And we will probably be dealing with that this evening. We are going to kick off tonight, though, talking a little bit about the Casey Anthony trial with Bobby Dooley. And we'll get you up to speed on that. Next hour, we're talking with a substitute middle school teacher, Clara Bingham, on a new phenomenon in this country, a way for school districts and schools to make ends meet. They're having children who bring their lunches to school or bring their breakfasts or snacks to school to pack their garbage out. So the kids have to take their garbage that they create with them out of the school, and Ms. Bingham is going to be talking with us about that as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have three brand-new affiliates to talk about here this evening, WMGG in Tampa, WCAR in Livonia, Michigan, in the suburbs of Detroit, and WKBZ, Muskegon, Michigan. All new stations on a great network of stations, 130, 140 strong, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And also our website, philhendryshow.com. If you're missing an affiliate, you want to know where there is one close to you, just please visit our website. We've got an affiliate list there. We also have merchandise. You can buy yourself a ball cap, find out where your affiliate is, watch the video cast, laugh yourself sick, miss school, miss work. Who cares? Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. There's going to be, as I understand it, Ms. Dooley, from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, a tour leaving later this month or early July. When will that be?
Right now, Phil, it will be in early July. We will be landing in Orlando, we think, after the 4th, though.
Okay, and this is to visit the Casey Anthony trial.
If there are two distinct tours that we're offering the residents of Western Estates. One will deal directly with the Casey Anthony trial, and we'll have as an adjunct my walking tour of the notable important spots in the Casey Anthony case. The other will focus entirely on the walking tour. Both of them include airfare and hotel. We think they are a tremendous value for the week. We're talking now, Phil, inclusive of airfare, $6,500.
$6,500 is the airfare and hotel?
And hotel. And on two of the days where we do provide a boxed lunch on two of the walking tour days. There's a three-day walking tour. We do provide the boxed lunch on the first 2 days. If you are going strictly for the walking tour.
All right, well, okay, go ahead and say the last thing, because I wanted to get really into the reasons why you're doing this.
Well, the reasons why we're doing it, I think, are going to be obvious, but I just wanted to say that the walking tour, if you're only going for the walking tour, that will be 3 days of the boxed lunch. I will be providing notes. I'll also be passing out the notes to people. Anyone who is there for academic or research reasons, and certainly the media like yourself, that we are available for interviews.
This is a trip to Orlando, Florida, sponsored by your homeowners association, to tank in the Casey Anthony trial.
To take in at least 1 or 2 days of the trial.
Do you guys have seats already set up for this trial?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, how are you going to get in? Because I've been watching the trial.
Oh, no. We'll be there in the morning, Steve and myself. And I can assure you that one way or the other, we're going to be able to get three or four people in per day for the week. And we don't plan on going with more than, say, 20 people. So,
are you sold out yet?
We're close to being sold out. But really, one of the reasons, Phil, why I'm on the program is not so much to sell the trip, because we're sure we're going to sell it out.
Can I just go back to one thing, though, Ms. Dooley? You're absolutely certain that you're going to be able to get seats in the courtroom for people who are buying this tour?
Oh, without question. Without question.
Can you tell me how you're going to do that? Because there have been people who've been pushing and shoving. I've been reading stories about people fainting.
No, I know that, Phil, and I just don't think that... I don't want to get into what we're going to do. I know there's an awful lot of very unsophisticated people who will, attempt to get into these high-profile trials in a rather ham-fisted way. I can assure you that my husband and I will get seats for 3 to 4 people a day.
So are you guaranteeing that every person that travels to Orlando with you will see at least one day of the Casey Anthony trial?
Absolute luck.
Do you know... Wow, I'd love to know who you know.
It isn't about knowing people, Phil. It's about having respect and knowing what to say and what to do.
Well, I mean, I could ask you a bunch of questions about that, but nonetheless, let's move on. So what do you... Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Tell me about this trip, the walking tour, as well as the trial day.
Well, it's a fascinating trial. I've been following it, and I finally said to my husband that we have to put something together. This is utterly fascinating. This is a woman who is being charged with killing her daughter, and then leaving her daughter in a bag or some other kind of container in the middle of a field, and the ridiculous lies that she's been telling, the convoluted stories, the people who have been believing these stories. I mean, it is really utterly fascinating. What we want to do is bring people down to the trial, watch some of these people, especially the ones that were believing a lot of the things she said.
Well, a lot of those people are, we're talking about a mother and a father who are absolutely heartbroken, you know.
Oh, I understand that, Phil. It's really interesting to see how they would get conned, though, you know.
Well, they love their daughter.
Well, they love their daughter, but I don't think you love someone so much that you... And I'm going to explain all of this when we take our walking tour. The other thing that we're going to do is visit the street where the Anthonys live on. We will not be invasive. We will not be intrusive. We'll allow people, obviously, to take pictures.
Now, you understand that the Anthonys have had all they're going to be able to take of people coming in front of their house, the media coming in front of their house, cats taking pictures, people walking on the lawn.
No, I understand that, Phil. And we're not going to be there to be rude.
But you know that they probably got very little patience even for people just to stand there and take pictures.
Well, they're going to have to deal with a little bit of it because we have a constitutional right to go there and look at it. And
Look at what?
To look at what? To look at the house where the murder person lived, and then also we're going down to the field where she left the box that had the kid in it. And so these are all areas, Phil, that are newsworthy, and they are fascinating. I just heard you say that you've been watching the trial.
Yes, I have been watching the trial, but the point that I'm making here is I haven't been watching the trial to the extent that I'm wrapped up in it as one might be wrapped up in a football game. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, this is not a football game.
A little girl died.
No, I know that. I understand that. But to me, it's a bit morbid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, we're not on your program, Phil, to have you knock down. We're trying to do something good here.
I can say, Phil, we're trying to do a good thing. Everybody lives.
Okay.
No, I know you're trying to do a good thing, but if you're going there, you said that you're going to take pictures of the house where the murder person lived. What's that?
The murderer, the Casey Anthony.
All right, you know that she's on trial and has not yet been adjudicated guilty.
I understand that, but it is our right as citizens, and you said it the other night, that we can, we're not in the courtroom, so we can say she's guilty if we want to.
Yeah, the other thing is to take a picture of it.
And to get a picture of it. Now, the other, if I could go on, Phil, because I think you're going to understand and your listeners are going to understand a little bit better.
All right.
We're going to go down to the field.
Oh, no, hold on. That's the other thing. You're going to go down to the field where she left the kid in a box or something.
No, I did not say that. I said we'll go down to the field where the box was that had the kid in it.
Yeah, that's the same thing. And what I'm saying is, don't you feel that's a little hardcore, you know, in terms of the way that you're talking about it, you know?
Phil, I'm not sure. It is a serious case, a very, very serious case. Yes, it's hardcore. Yes, it is tragic. We're talking about it as if it's tragic. I'm a mother, okay?
Yeah, you're a mother.
I'm a mother. I have three boys. Are you trying to tell me?
Well, no, ma'am. I'm not trying to tell you.
Are you trying to tell me that I don't have sensitivity to a woman and a mother who may have murdered her child and a grandmother who is absolutely heart sick?
I am not saying that.
Well, then why won't you allow me the respect that is due any mother? Allow me to tell you about what we have planned. We're going to go to the Casey home. We're going to go and look where the box was that had the little kid in it. And the reason why we're saying that is because I heard that the utility man walked by it a couple of times. He couldn't locate it.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Okay, and so you're doing a walking tour.
Yes, I'm going to be doing the tour. We'll get out of the bus. I'll walk people into the field. I'll say, here is where it is. Now, the other, this is where, and also, this is very interesting. And this is fascinating. Apparently, animals fed on the remains.
Oh, God, Ms. Dooley.
No, Phil.
Do you understand that this is what I'm talking about?
It's really interesting.
I am a mother.
You're saying you're a mother, and to bring up the animals and the remains is, this is what I'm talking about. It's morbid.
It is an educational tour, and I wish you would allow me to finish, because there are three areas in that swamp. Where the box was, well, I guess he's not going to...
And where the remains got dragged to.
And where the remains got dragged to. Tasteless and offensive.
And this is your verdict?
This is my opinion. This is my opinion. Why would anybody want to go down to Orlando and take your walking tour as you go, oh, and by the way, here's where the kid was found, and here is where...
People still are a little bit more tuned into the world of crime because of Aphrodite Jones and Investigation Discovery. People want to know about crime and criminality, and I think you not being a mother, you don't understand that as mothers, we get very thick skins about these things. We want to know, is it possible that my daughter is going to kill her kid? And if she does, where is she going to put it? And yes, Phil, yes. If animals are around, where are they likely to drag the remains to?
Oh, God. I hold the line, please.
Well, you know,
hold the line, please. 877-876-PHIL. You know, I don't give it. I don't care what kind of a mother you are. You got a thick skin about what? I got to find out how this is done? Because if they drag the remains somewhere, that, you know, that to me is the most sickening thing. What do you make of Bobby Dooley's tour and Mr. Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association in general, a tour on the Casey Anthony trial? Is it tasteless? Is it offensive? Would you ever consider such a trip? Not me. 877-876-7445 for your phone calls. Next, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah.
Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, we'll get back to Bobby and Steve Dooley in just a moment. They're talking about a walking tour of the Casey Anthony trial that they are going to be conducting for the Homeowners Association, flying to Orlando in early July. But first, this word from our good friends at Life Change Tea. What happened to Bud, where's the Life Change Tea copy, man?
Right there.
Oh, here it is. Yes. Our good friends at Life Change Tea, a sponsor of the Phil Henry Show, and I'd just like you to keep in mind their website, which is getthetea.com. Life Change Tea is an all-natural, it's an all-organic blend specially formulated to do what? To detoxify your filthy insides, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you're filthy and dirty and all of that. I'm just saying that we all accumulate stuff when we eat this stuff, and no matter what it is, we may be eating nothing but broccoli and grain water, man. Grain alcohol? No, not we're not Dr. Strangelove. I mean, rainwater, you know.
What's grain water?
Grain water, I don't know what that is. But we may think that we are living the ideal healthy life, but we're not. That's why you need Life Change Tea, okay? It's formulated to detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, your liver, your colon, your blood, all at once. Now, people who want to lose weight and benefit from the great-tasting and non-caffeinated tea of Life Change Tea, this is a great, great product. 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea. No gimmicks, just results, and a happier you. So get it. Get to their website, which is getthetea.com, getthetea.com, or call this number, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408, and don't forget to tell them that Phil Henry sent you. Life Change Tea, one of our terrific sponsors. Phil Henry Show here, Bobby and Steve Dooley. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we continue discussing the Casey Anthony trial and the junket or trip that you guys will be taking with members of the Homeowners Association. You're going to do a walking tour. You're going to go in front of the Anthony home. You're going to go to where they found this poor baby's remains. You have, Bobby, I'm telling you right now.
No, we did not come on your program to be subjected to some sort of a lecture. I'm a mother.
I understand that you're a mother. I'd like to know how it figures into being a mother that you're going to go to where they found this child's remains and say the remains were here and then they were dragged over there.
That is essential information for any mother to know.
And why is that essential for any mother to know?
And by the way, Phil, I do take exception to your use of the word morbid. I think it's very insulting.
And why is that important for mothers to know?
It's important for any mother to know what, if she is a grandmother, what her daughter is capable of doing. Your daughter is going to go into the world. She's going to have a child. And you have no idea what she's going to do to that child. You have no idea what she's capable of. And so we are...
So in other words, if I'm a grandmother, and I'm a man, but I have to be aware of not the great things that being a grandmother may bring, not the wonderful things of being a mother. I want to start thinking very seriously about what my daughter is going to do to my granddaughter.
Mr. Henry,
what do you think's going on in Orlando?
What do you think is going on in Orlando right now? There is a trial going on, and we are going to take people there so they can see, in case they have a daughter that's going to have a baby, look what this one did.
All right, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call here and talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley here. We have Mary in Manhattan. Go ahead, Mary, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. This is my first time.
Good evening. Good evening.
Listening to your
yes,
program.
Ma'am.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome
Thank you.
To your guest. I also
Thank you very much.
And mm-hmm. I appreciate where your guest is coming from when she, you know,
mm-hmm.
in this day, no, when I'm, let me finish. In this mm-hmm. day and age, a lot of
mm-hmm.
people are more investigative mm-hmm. now because of all these programs
mm-hmm.
that you have on TV. You don't
mm-hmm.
want to hear
mm-hmm.
what you hear on TV, you know, these little bits
mm-hmm.
of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
More people want to get more involved. So I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think what you're trying to
mm-hmm.
say is that you're
mm-hmm.
trying to piece together this psychotic,
mm-hmm.
this criminal's
mm-hmm.
mind,
mm-hmm.
so that maybe
hold on for a minute, will you, Mary? Will you hang on for a minute, Bobby? Would you not go? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
You're going, and I'm like, it's disturbing. Hold the line, Mary. We're going to be back after this commercial break. Mary, you hang on. Okay. Bobby, you hang on. And we're going to be right back after a commercial break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about a tour they're taking to Orlando for the Casey Anthony trial and all of the interesting spots, like where they found this child's body. Is it morbid? Yes. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. The Casey Anthony trial, which is now on, I believe it's 28th or 29th day, is it's a heartbreaking trial. It's an unbelievable trial. If you watch this, Bobby, as I have, you're looking at a family coming apart. You're looking at an American family that has been destroyed.
Well, Phil, you know, you're talking like you're John Dos Passos or Ernest Hemingway.
No, I'm not. I'm saying something very real. I'm looking at that mother, that Cindy, the father, George, the daughter, a granddaughter gone, a son. This family is destroyed. Their daughter is going to go to prison. Their baby granddaughter is dead. They have a son who's getting married. Any grandchildren they have obviously will come by way of their son. But it's unbelievable.
And Phil, all the better for us to go to Orlando and get to the bottom. And that's why I want to go to the District 9 Medical Examiner's Office. I know Dr. G, okay?
You know the medical examiner.
I know Dr. G, yeah. And if we're able, I would like to recreate what that car, and let me finish, Phil, what that car smelled like.
And oh, God.
But then you've been prejudiced.
You're prejudicing this tour, Phil.
No, I'm not. I don't know how in God's name you're going to get a medical exam, especially this Dr. G. Apparently she's very well known. Is on television, everything. Here is Mary again, hanging on very patiently in New York City. Mary, go right ahead, Mary.
Okay, I just wanted to wrap things up. I'm sure there's a lot of people that mm-hmm. want to call. It's a very good
mm-hmm.
topic because so many people,
thank you.
And you know, with in today's times, you know, with the media coverage and you know, so much information out there, we do get
right.
fixated on certain high-profile crimes and things like that. So I remember the case when it first started, and I definitely believe the mother was had something to do with this in the beginning when she didn't report the little girl missing. So as a mother,
well,
like you said,
why not take our tour? Why not take our tour?
Yeah,
we're going to go into the field. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, and I don't mean to mm-hmm. intrude, Mary, do you know what a dead body smells like?
Yes, I
do. What has that got to do with that? What has that got to do with, and Mary, you do know, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh. And
do you, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It smells, it's nauseating, okay?
Right, you never forget that smell.
You know, it's there's no other smell like it.
Right.
Well, I haven't, and I feel as if we have a right.
But
and if Dr. G can somehow make available to us the remains of a human to put into, we're going to rent a sunbird, we're going to, if we can, inform the interior with this aroma, and then...
And then what? Have everybody on the tour stick their head in the sunbird and smell it?
Yes. God.
Can I say something that I'm going to go?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Is I think where your intentions were good and still are good because you want to bring to
thank
light
you.
The kind of mindset that people can have, and maybe it can be a warning to other people when
exactly.
they see their daughters or children, because men are killing their children also. But I think you're talking
exactly.
about the mindset, you know, behind somebody who's going to just break one day and go off and just kill their child. But I think that more information probably should be
mm-hmm.
given about what happened before the death, so that if you want to use this as a warning to other people, because she seemed to be a psychopath and she had some kind of, you know, mental problem that she's still she's displaying now while she's on trial. So there's probably things that maybe teachers, you know, people that knew her can tell you about, you know, her.
Oh, there's a good point, yeah.
That,
you know, they always say that a lot of psychopathic people when they were little kids, this is going to sound crazy, psychopathic people when they were little kids would do things like try to flush a kitten down a toilet.
Right. right. Kill apples.
And stuff like that. And they go,
like that.
Yeah. And then when you'd ask them, why are you doing that? You take the kitten away from them. They would cry, not because they felt bad for the cat. They cried because they didn't have their toy to flush down a toilet.
Yeah. They got,
you know.
I don't know what either one of you are talking about.
What I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the stink in that car.
Okay. We heard you. Mary, thank you.
Okay.
You're right. We got to take a break. And thank you, Mary, very much for your call, though. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL. Ms. Dooley, you know, to say you know Dr. G there from District 9 and say you're going to procure a what? You're going
to... No, I would appreciate if you're not speaking to me in an accusatory term. I'm saying that...
You just mentioned a very prominent medical examiner who you think is going to give you access to the remains of a human?
No, I did not. See, that's where you got it wrong. No, I did not.
No, she did, Mr. Henry.
No, I did not. I said... If you'll let me finish.
Go ahead.
I said that if the District 9 Medical Examiner's Office could make available a corpse to inform the interior of the Sunbird.
What does that mean, inform the interior?
Spread the smell of it.
Yes, to imbue it.
To get the some rented Sunbird to smell like a dead body was in it.
If you want to put it that way, yes, but that's... I'm not saying that I'm going up to Dr. G and I'm saying you owe me a favor. She doesn't owe me anything. I know her. I did do her one favor because she looks a little... she looks very athletic. And I had said to someone, no, she's not blank, blank, blank. You could see the looks on their face. Is she a you-know-what?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I got to get to some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Do you think that this tour to see the murder site and the principal areas of the murder of this child is at all tasteful? Let's go to Jerry in Indianapolis. Jerry, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yes, this lady is crazy. Want to take this tour. And the whole idea is just insane. It's totally insane. Why can't you just learn from the news report what's going on and let that be enough? Why can't you just
listen
to the trial and let that be enough?
They lie. They lie. The news lies, as you know. And we want the truth. We've got to know. If they lie to you...
What truth will you gather from taking this tour and smelling a dead body in a car and visiting a field where animals have eaten the body? What truth will you learn from that?
Oh, God, that's the part that I cannot believe.
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry that the real world upsets you and Jerry, but it's the real world, Phil.
Okay, I know that there's a real world out there, and I understand it's crowding in on us every day. Why do you go seek it out like this? And a box lunch?
Are we supposed to do a tour and not feed people?
And you're going to go and look in a field where...
Not only seek it out, you want to reenact it. You know, the real world is real enough. Why is it necessary to reenact a tragedy?
What do you mean, reenact it?
You're going to have the car, a Sunbird, which is the car that this woman drove... smelling like a corpse.
That's the only part we're going to reenact. Everything else, except for the fact that... Well, what are you laughing at, sir? A moment ago, you were shocked.
I am
amazed.
I'm laughing in shock, okay? You're just saying this in a calm voice. It's just unbelievable that you think this is really a good idea.
I'm so sorry for those Americans who think that information... and experiencing life and experiencing something that's fascinating is a bad idea. And
when you say fascinating, Ms. Dooley, the thing that is that's missing...
Have you smelled a corpse in a car, yes or no?
Well, it's got nothing to do with anything.
It's not necessary.
Where'd you smell a dead body, Phil?
None of your business. How about that?
Well, then I don't believe it.
All right, you want to know?
Yes.
In an apartment that I was going to rent...
What?
That's exactly right. In an apartment I was going to rent, and I found out later the cops found a body in it.
You're a liar.
No, I'm not lying. You asked me, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you right now, it smelled like I ain't smelled it before or since.
Well, then how come we don't get to do that?
Oh, you want to get to do that, huh? Oh. You want, like, you're going up? I mean, what do you think it is, an all-day sucker or a ride at Disneyland? You want to get to do it?
Just, you know, Phil, I came on your... And Jerry, you don't relate to this at all. You think that I'm out of my mind. Go ahead and say it. I'm a mother, and I want to know how to protect my children.
I'm a father.
All right, don't you want to know what your daughter will eventually do to one of your grandkids?
My daughter will
leave it in the field?
That to one of my grandkids. I'm sorry.
You don't know that. You don't know that, Jerry. One of these days, Jerry, you're going to get into... What kind of car do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
I'm just asking, what kind of a car do you have? Is it a sports car? Is it a...
Yeah, it's a sports car.
All right, let's say you drive a Camaro. One day you get into that Camaro...
Yeah, we know, and it's going to smell like a dead body.
How dare... Oh, my God. I love the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of telling me that I'm out of line and the two of you laughing. I love it.
You are out of line.
No.
You're saying that every person out here is going to experience this one day, so you want to set everyone up so they won't be shocked. Because everyone in this world is going to experience this. You're saying this
you
is
look
a
at that,
fact
family.
That I'm going to
Mr.
experience
Henry
this
said.
Day that my daughter, which I don't have, is going to kill my grandchild and put it in my car. You say everyone out there is going to experience it, so you're preparing these folks that you're taking on this tour so it won't be such a shock to them when it happens to them.
I can tell you this much. That's an American family, as Mr. Henry just said, that has been wrecked by this tragedy. Had they seen it coming, maybe they could have done something about it. And, Jerry, you don't have a daughter. You have a son. Same difference.
Yes.
You get into your Camaro one day, and it smells like what died, which is exactly what, you know.
Cindy Anthony used that expression. People say that when someone cuts a fart, they say what died. They say that when there's something...
Excuse me?
She didn't mean literally what died. She had no idea that she had been that a dead body had been in that car. This woman just wanted to know what the hell was stinking her car up. Jerry, thanks so much for your call, and thank you for injecting a little bit of sanity here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me take another phone call here. I was going to break, but let's take a call here from Solomon in Greensboro. Go ahead, Solomon. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
What really
yes, sir.
Tells and stinks about this thing is your guest said. You putting this thing off as a civic thing that you need to do, and yet you're calling it a tour, and it's a commercial enterprise. You're charging people to go on the tour. It's classrooms for the type of thing that you're talking about. These people that go on this tour are not going to learn those things.
Well, sir, what classes teach you? What classes show you exactly where the lower portion of a body was dragged by a possum?
And would you stop, please? It's making me sick.
There are classes for that. I'm saying, well, then you start a classroom for that.
This is practical. It's hands-on.
Yes, hands-on.
Mm-hmm. You go to the place. No, why would you say it's commercial? Is it commercial to have a private university?
Pardon?
Is it commercial to have a private university? Yes, but necessary. That's what I am doing. It's the Bobby Dooley University of, you know, why does the car stink?
The Bobby Dooley University of why does the car stink?
The point that I'm making, it's the University of the Dead.
Go ahead. The University of what?
It's the Bobby Dooley School of a Dead.
Of a Dead Kid.
Of a Dead Kid.
Oh, that's really respectful.
Yeah.
What?
And what are you going to do after this?
Are you a grandfather, sir?
I'm a great grandfather.
All right. How would you like it if your granddaughter took your great-grandchild and just left it in a car for a weekend, just to really get the interior stinking it up?
I wouldn't like it at all. But this
exactly.
is not the answer. But what you're doing is not the answer to that.
Not the answer.
That those things
right.
wouldn't happen.
If you want to go and take a criminology class, like Solomon may be saying, or a law enforcement,
that's not the hands-on practical experience, okay, of going down and saying, see, there's Universal. That's where she was working while the kid was there in the trunk, see?
Are the people that go on the tour going to learn from this and take home from that?
Well, as I said, hopefully, Solomon, and I said this to Jerry, a gentleman like yourself will look differently at your daughter and think, okay, what's she got in mind for that kid? You are. You deserve, Mr. Henry, not you, Solomon, but Mr. Henry, you deserve You deserve to hang by the neck.
Oh, do I, really?
For laughing at that?
I think it's funny when you say, what's a grandfather? A man, this gentleman's going to look at his daughter and say, I wonder what she's got in mind for my grandkid.
I mean, you can't shock me by making it personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you was, what is the benefit of what are you doing to humanity?
What we're learning more and more is that what these kids can do if we give them the right or the wrong kinds of food.
Well, we already know this.
They
we
go out and they strangle the kids and then go dancing.
We don't have to go on a tour to learn these things.
What is the what's the differential between strangling a kid and then being on the dance floor at Fusion? How much time?
How much time? What?
Well, how much time elapses between the time that you chloroform the kid, leave it in a bucket, you know,
and get out on the dance.
And if I take your tour, I can help. If I take your tour, I can help prevent those things.
Yes. Well, you'll know your daughter's going out dancing.
Okay.
I already know she's capable, like any human being, of doing these things.
Of course you do. But your daughter's going to go dancing, but do you know that she just left five minutes before a child in a cardboard box?
She wouldn't go dancing, but she would go and play basketball.
All right. So your daughter goes and plays basketball. Meanwhile, something's really ripening the inside of her car. That's what I'm saying.
You're talking about this like they're not even human beings.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
What is you doing going to prevent those things?
I just told you. I don't know how many different ways I can say
what I'm saying.
But like you, Solomon, you're going to look at your daughter and you're going to say, you're not playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. No.
I got a corpse-sniffing dog and you're taking me to work.
Okay. Solomon, thank you very much, sir. We have to take a break, but you're a very good man for putting up with this asinine line of reasoning. You're not going to play basketball. I got a corpse-sniffing dog, and you're taking me to where?
I think you're going to go find a grandkid.
877-876-PHIL. You know, I remember being in Atlanta when a particularly horrific crime had been committed. A little child had been murdered. And they finally found this child, and eventually they charged the father. But there was this morbid fascination with the spot where they found the child. It became almost a tourist attraction. I mean, people were lining up, parking their cars, going over to where the site was. It was almost as if you could start selling hot dogs or balloons. I mean, if you set up a stand there selling chewing gum or candy or something, people might have actually availed themselves. And that's exactly what Mrs. Dooley is doing, and that's exactly what I think is so wrong about this, that a horrible crime has been committed, an entire family is coming apart at the seams in front of our very eyes, and she's taking people on a tour? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. And don't forget philhenryshow.com for our podcast and live Phil TV right now.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we are online at philhenryshow.com right now, as well as our affiliates all over the country. If you want to log on and take a look at our video cast, you can do that. Every single night that we're on the air, we've got our live video cast, and we have a five-day archive of that, as well as our daily podcast that you can get a hold of through iTunes of the show, and also live on 150 affiliates across the country. Bobby, you wanted to make a point, and I understand that it's a sort of a final. You said that this is your clincher point.
Yes, I think this is what really is going to... I think your audience knows, Phil, listening to me, that we really do have the moral high ground here.
All right, so before you say that, you're going out and you are going to have a tour of where Casey Anthony killed her daughter, where she left the body, where she partied, where she said she worked, which she didn't, the home she lived in, and also you're going to work your contacts with Dr. G at the District 6 or District whatever the hell it is.
District 9, if you've been watching... Oh, wow.
You don't even know it. She's on TV.
She's on television. And
okay, she's on television. District 9.
Yes.
District 9 Medical Examiner Dr. G... to provide a corpse so you guys could put it in a sunbird and smell it.
Well, the way you say that, so you guys can put it in a sunbird and smell it.
Yeah, you're all judgmental.
You're being very judgmental.
Yes. Of course I'm being judgmental. It's the most macabre and morbid thing I've ever heard.
Well, here is the point I was going to make, Bill.
Yeah, I got to hear this. This is your clincher point.
It is my clincher point. And here it is, okay?
Yeah.
Steve and I have, for the longest time, been opposed to the death penalty. Okay? Okay, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, okay.
Well...
Wow. That doesn't
make a dent, does it?
What is that supposed to do for me that you're opposed to the death penalty?
I am opposed to the death penalty on humanitarian grounds. I believe it is cruel and unusual punishment to kill someone. And so, therefore... I think she can be rehabilitated, and you can't say that what I'm doing is macabre. You're macabre and morbid because you believe in... Oh, he doesn't even get it.
No, I don't. Say it again.
I said, well, I know you're going to play the music, and I won't be able to say it.
Phil Hendry.
Burn in hell.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Good evening, and welcome to this radio program, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We go places other talk shows cannot go. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. They'll acknowledge it. They will acknowledge our superiority in that area. Welcome to the show. We're here every night, as I mentioned, and on Saturday nights we do our local show in Los Angeles as well, but you can join us for that. All of it online at philhendryshow.com, which is our website. It's also where we feature live streaming video of the show every night, our podcasts each and every day, our archives, our news feeds, all of the webisodes that we have, all of our rants. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, so join us for that. Tonight, like every night, we want to mention our affiliate spotlight, right, Jace? Our affiliate spotlight tonight... we're taking a look at West Palm Beach and WBZT. We've been on with those guys for a long time. And another long time, very loyal, great, great affiliate, KJLL in Tucson, The Jolt. And those cats have been with Phil Hendry for, I mean, years. And we appreciate that. They're all courageous broadcasters. Anybody that hangs with us, I can tell you. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, I want to tell you about a contest that we're running here. And it has to do with the Google satellite pictures. And this is not just any contest where, you know, next week we're going to announce a winner. It's not just any contest where every hour we have a winner. We're not doing that. We're not doing the fifth call or anything. This is, you know, we're serious. We're serious to the point where we are offering a $20,000 cash money. First prize to anyone who has on their rooftop, on the roof of their home, the name Phil Hendry. And it is photographed by the Google satellite so that when you zoom in using
Google, it's called Google.
I know that, but using your Google satellite maps option.
They zoomed in, I'll see it.
Yes, when you zoom in, there it is, Phil Hendry on the roof of the house. 20 G's, baby. Now. We will publish forthwith, or however you say that. I don't even know what forthwith means, but it sounds official. We will publish the rules regarding this contest. And there really is only one rule, and that is that it is an actual photograph taken from the Google satellite, or from the satellite. It's not some Photoshop shop jive. It's really my name there. And, of course, we retain the rights to the photograph. 20 grand, and we'll see. Who knows?
I'd do it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people might do it. So there it is, and we'll see what happens. I don't know how often the Google satellite flies over. It might be something we want to research. We might want to research how current those photographs are. There's no time limit to this. All right? It's the first picture that we receive as the winner. Very first picture that we receive that we can verify is an actual photograph from outer space, from a satellite, that shows the name Phil Hendry on the roof of someone's house. They can claim ownership of that sign, that house. They have permission, blah, 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 you know. Because we're going to give the money to whoever owns the house, so don't even worry about it. I ain't giving it to some jackass who, you know, like you, bud, if you scale the top of someone's house.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to go on top of Robert's house, put a sign up there.
Yeah, you know, Thelma, did you do that?
No, you can't do that, man. All right, so good luck. I don't know.
Good luck.
So there it is, our contest, and good luck getting a picture taken from outer space of the roof of your house. 20 grand? 20 grand is 20 grand. All right, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-877-877-6-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line tonight Lloyd Bonafide. He and his wife Gladys have started, for a couple of years now, actually, the running of a youth center in Alhambra, California, and they've worked with kids in various areas, troubled youths, kids who need athletic outlets, kids that need some scholastic assistance. Lloyd is retired, owned a business in the Alhambra area for some 40 years in Southern California, and there are so many people like him across the country. I know you guys are out there, and you're the unsung heroes, and tonight maybe we'll sing your praises a little bit. One of the things that he's doing is working with kids to understand the political process, to understand government, to understand the country. Did you see the article today? What is it, 13 to 20% of American kids understand American history? That's a disgrace. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And those young people are citizens of the greatest country in the history of the world, and they don't even know 20% of them, that's it? Not even 20% know the history of this country with any facility at all. I think one of the questions they asked was, what did the canals do? Now, that's what was, when you put canals in, the canal system, what did it do? How did it improve the country? They couldn't get the answer right.
I don't know.
You're an idiot, okay? I know you're an idiot. What do you think, Robert?
Help trade.
Help trade between the states. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, and let's get Lloyd on the line here from Alhambra. I got Lloyd. I know you're at home tonight, Lloyd. How are you doing?
Yeah, Bill, we're doing very well.
And I know that you watched the debates last night.
Well, it was part of the... It was part of us working with many of the young people you just mentioned in the San Gabriel Valley. But I want to say at this time, you're absolutely right. And if I could reach out and shake hands with every senior out there who is working with the young, who is retired but is still giving of his or her time to help our young people, I would love to reach out and shake every one of your hands tonight because it's great work.
And I think it's particularly good when seniors do it, you know.
Absolutely, because the seniors have an impression of seniors that we don't care about young people, that we are retired and so forth. And I heard you mention last night that a lot of the school bond issues are defeated by selfish seniors, which may be the case. I don't know, but.
But I know you're doing great work along with your wife Gladys, and you have with the youth center, and particularly, you heard what I said about history.
Yes, well, that was shocking to me, and I saw the same statistic that young people in this country don't know anything about American history. It's a disgrace. So last night, as you know, were the Republican debates.
Now, did you have any kind of an event for the kids?
Not last night. I did ask a lot of the young people that are in our are getting scholastic and academic assistance if they would watch the debates and learn something about the process of selecting a candidate, don't you know, for the presidency.
Okay.
And I asked the kids to keep that in mind. I was at home watching the debates, though, with our own young person, my grandson, Joshua.
Okay, so you were watching the debates, and the leading contenders for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination appeared together on stage for the first time. That was last night in Goffstown, New Hampshire. They used the debate to train their fire on President Obama, given opportunities to critique one another's stances. The seven competitors repeatedly deflected the questions.
Pretty much Tim Pawlenty was asked about his description of the new national health care law as Obamacare. And I thought that that was interesting, but he wouldn't answer the question.
So you said you were watching with your grandson?
I was watching with my grandson, Joshua.
How old is he?
Well, this is the end. Joshua's only 5 years old, but let me explain something. I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought for this country in the United States Navy between in 1950-1952 in the Korean conflict. And I am a fervent believer, I don't care how old a young person is, that they educate themselves to the process of democracy that we hold so very dear.
And but your grandson's a five-year-old?
My grandson is a five-year-old. I understand that. But there is no reason why a five-year-old boy can't sit next to his grandfather, and the kids call us Papa and Nana, to sit next to his papa and watch the debate. And it was a troubling thing to see the child continually, you know, getting off the couch.
Well, a little five-year-old is going to be, a little five-year-old, I guess, Lloyd, is going to be a little bit more restless.
Well, there's no question about that. But the five-year-old is also going to do what he's told. And I told him to sit there and to watch with papa the debate. And he said, he was trying to get down. I said, what do you want? And he said he wanted to get a cookie or a cracker, I don't know what they call these cookies they have now.
Well, what was it?
It looked like a candy bar, and that's why I batted it out of his hand. But it was a cookie, but it looked like a candy bar.
Well, they've got these cookies now that are covered with chocolate. I see what you're saying, though, you know.
Yeah, I slapped it out of his hand, and I told him to go back, and he came back with a cookie. I sat him down, and he was once again restless. Now, here is the reason why I'm talking with you today, Phil. Our young people, and listen to me, because I'm a Korean War veteran. Our young people don't even know the capital of this country. Some of these young people are so badly educated. They don't know the names of the presidents. They don't know. If you showed them a map of the world, they wouldn't know where the country is.
I understand.
And that, for me and for thousands of other veterans, we fought for this country, and we have a generation of utter imbeciles. And I say that with the greatest of respect and love for my grandson, but I said to him to stop moving.
But can I just interrupt you here for a minute?
Yes.
5 years old is 5 years old.
No, you're going back on that, Phil. I understand that.
5 years old is 5 years old. A little five-year-old boy is going to be restless.
Right, but at some point he's going to sit still and shut his mouth. And so that's when, and I told your producer, we've had the police to this house at least seven or eight times while we've had the grandkids, and not once have they ever arrested me or anything.
And well, what happened?
I took my grandson Joshua's head, and did you ever see Clockwork Orange, you saw how they pried the eyes open.
And you did this to a five-year-old.
Whoa, Mr. Henry, it's not that horrible a thing. I told him to sit still, and I opened the eyelids and kept them open and said, you stare, look at it. And I told
you realize that sounds crazy.
Well, my daughter called the police, and that was the most humiliating thing for me, because the police officer came to the door. I explained to him that I wasn't arrested. There was nothing happened.
So the police officer was called by your daughter?
Yes, because she came around the corner and she saw me laughing, prying the eyelids open on my grandson. And the reason why I was laughing is he looked funny. He looked a little amusing to me. Bottom line, let's get to the bottom line.
You had the cops come to the house, man. That's the bottom line for me.
No, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is we have young people in our country that don't know history. They don't know political science. They don't know anything. If their lives depended on their knowledge of American history, they wouldn't live to see another sunrise. And that's my hand to God on that.
Lloyd, hang on, because I want to talk a little more. This is a disturbing thing, because I know the police have been to your home before, and I know that you are you're not a violent man.
No, not with my family, I'm not.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran who sat watching the debates with his 5-year-old son last night, and as his 5-year-old grandson, and as his grandson got more and more restless, he pried the kid's eyelids open with his thumb and his finger, and made the kid keep watching the debates because he felt that it was the right thing for the kid to do. He's a Korean War veteran. And the police were called. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We do have a country of kids that don't know anything about American history or the political process of this country. But just how crazy are we going to get? Even if you are a Korean War veteran, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Of course I admire veterans.
Well, then what is the issue here is, as a Korean War veteran...
I know you're a veteran. I understand you're a veteran. What I don't understand is that when you work with young people, and I know you work with young people, and by the way, folks, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. What I have, who I have with me here, Lloyd Bonafide, he and his wife... Gladys, operating a youth center in Alhambra. And I get that you and your wife both do this work. But when you're talking about a 5-year-old grandchild,
yes,
and you're talking about a certain level of awareness, a certain level of, you know...
Look, are you a grandfather, Mr. Hendry?
No, sir, I'm not. But, you know, I understand kids enough... You know,
no, you're not a grandfather, so you don't know what it is to babysit. You know, see, I love it. I love it so dearly. Here's what I love. I love this so much. I love this so much. I'd ride this. You know, and I just, I shouldn't say. Oh, don't worry. When I said that, though, I thrust my pelvis, and the reason why I did that is because right here. You people love to talk about how to treat kids, but you don't have any.
And I have had children, and I've seen them grow up. I've never been a grandfather.
And you've never been an elderly person who has been asked to babysit a 5-year-old that my daughter asks me to do all the time, and we do that.
You've had the police to your home a number of times. I know not all of it has to do with your grandson, but you've been, you've been involved in some, I guess, teaching exercises.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into that. That's, it prejudices me, and it's not fair. What I'm saying is, and boy, I feel it's almost wrong that you brought that up, sir.
Well, you brought up the fact the cops have been to your house 7 or 8 times.
Yes, and I've never been arrested.
No, but you're very aggressive and unusual in your methods of teaching your kids things. You've got a 5-year-old grandson there who was not watching the debate.
He was squirming, and he was restless, and he was acting up, and I said to him, will you stop, Joshua? Papa wants you to watch with him.
All right. You still feel that you should have a 5-year-old watching the debates?
Yes, I felt I should have a 5-year-old watching the debates because these kids, no one tells them what to do. So I told the child to sit still, and when he would not turn that down, will you please, Gladys? And so I said to him, I want you to sit there and to keep your mouth shut while you and Papa watch the debate. Now he kept crying and he wanted to go get another of his cookie bar that his grandmother had made. She made these cookies that she put chocolate on them, and they looked like, I thought it was a candy bar, and it wasn't. He wanted to get another one. All it is sugar, and keeps him amped up like one of these guys I used to see in the sick bay on the ship. These guys that were Benzedrine addicts. And so, you know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, I said, you'll sit there. And that's when I opened his eyes up with my thumb and my forefinger on both hands. I clamped his head between both hands while I had the eyeballs, but the eyes were open. And so what I was doing was, I was not hurting him. I held his head in my hands. I then opened the eyelids up using my thumbs and forefingers so that his eyeballs were bugging out of his head, and that's why I started laughing, by the way. And I said to him, look at it good. Now, that's in the police report, too, because my daughter heard that.
And that's when your daughter came around the corner.
That's when my daughter, who asked me and her mother to babysit the boy, now she's got opinions.
Well, what was she doing? Was she in the house?
No, she and the guy she married came home. And
the guy she married? Who is that? The Joshua's father?
Yes, Joshua's father.
So, your son-in-law?
He's the man that my daughter married.
All right.
They came home a few minutes before, and she came around the corner, and she saw me holding the kid's head. That's when she called the police, and that's what I feel was so wrong to do to a veteran, trying to teach children. But
all right, I understand. And I still don't think that you dealt with that boy the best way you could. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, folks. We're talking here with Lloyd Bonafide. Do you think, even though he's a Korean War veteran, he did the right thing by forcing a five-year-old to watch the debates with him, even to the point where he held the child's eyes open? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, a man who you had a business in the San Gabriel Valley of Southern California. And I know that we're speaking to, as you mentioned, seniors all over the country. Is that a siren?
Yeah, well, she's got the television on it.
Okay. It's all right. And you're doing good work as a senior.
No, we represent thousands of senior citizens, millions of senior citizens all over this country, tried to straighten the lives of these kids out. And you may have questions about my grandson being 5 years old or whatever, but a lot of guys died so that, you know, a young kid like that would be able to, I guess, you know, enjoy freedom. And so when he wasn't watching the debates, I had to say to myself, I will not. I've seen too many guys die so that child sits there and squirms around on a couch. And so I grabbed that child. I pinned him against me, holding his head, and opened his eyes up and forced his eyes open.
And forcing the child's at the age of five, forcing his eyes open right away is going to be perceived as child abuse.
Hold on for a minute. Don't you dare say that. The police came and they left, and I had eye drops, which I applied liberally every, I would say, 10 or 15 seconds. I had just regular water eye drops, solution, just a solution for the eyes. And
so you had this child's head in your hands with his eyes forced open by your fingers, and you were putting eye drops in.
Yes. And I said because I'd had it, he went into the kitchen from his nana, and he got a cookie. He got a cookie. And I had said to him, go get your cookie. God and I even took the Lord's name in vain, because I wanted him to watch this political process. And I said to him, Joshua, you go get a cookie. I love you. You know that Papa loves you, but you go get your cookie. And I swear, I said, I swear to God. And I held myself back. And
what are you holding yourself back from?
What is the question, sir?
You're talking about a five-year-old child going to get a cookie.
I'm telling you, as a Korean War veteran...
All right, I understand. I'm sorry, Lloyd. I understand that you're a Korean War veteran, and you don't want to have the veterans disrespected, and you want the veterans to be respected, and that means the kids need to understand their American political science and history. But he's five. He's 5 years old.
I don't care how old. Yes, he's five. He's old enough to waddle around and get a cookie, isn't he? He's old enough to go and bother his grandmother, isn't he? He's old enough to bother people. He could bother me to the point of a stroke. You understand what I'm saying? My five-year-old grandson could bug me and bother me and keep on bugging and bothering me until I collapse from a stroke in our driveway.
Has that happened?
Has what happened?
Have you had a stroke?
No, I'm... Oh. God, you're almost as stupid as my grandson.
No. Lloyd, what you came on this program tonight to talk about was getting young people interested in the political process. I had no idea you had a five-year-old grandson who...
You knew I had a grandson.
Now, hold on. Yes, I knew you had a grandson. I had no idea that you had a five-year-old grandson who was going to have to sit and watch the Republican debates with you. Then you're going to pry his eyeballs open, drop solution in them, and you're going to have to talk to a cop.
Yes, because my daughter called the police. And
you were not arrested.
No, I wasn't arrested. Here comes this L.A. sheriff, and they've been to my home 8 times, and I even said to this guy, you've been to my home 8 times, the L.A. County Sheriff.
Is that a badge of honor?
Sir, Mr. Henry, if you'll listen for a minute, instead of trying to be the smart, funny... Smart, you know, trying to be a big ass, Mr. Smartass, and trying to be the big funny ass.
I'm trying to listen to you.
All right. Then listen instead of trying to be the big, Mr. the laughing man. You know, they've got out in the desert Burning Man. You know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, every year they have, and I get together with a couple of, my wife and I get together with another couple, and we go to Burning Man. And we have an RV, and we go to the desert. Well, let me tell you, Laughing Man and Burning Man.
Whatever that means, sir.
Well, it means it's a short step from being a ha-ha-ha to a guy that's running down the street with no clothes on fire. And let me tell you, I knew some guys in World War II, and they saw the Japanese come out of those caves nude as the day they were born. Only one problem, they were lit up like a Christmas tree on New Year's Day. And I can tell you...
Can we stick to the point here? Let's get back to the point here.
My grandson.
Yeah, your grandson. Talking about the Japanese on fire and Laughing Boy and Burning Man.
You were making jokes. And
I don't think it's funny when a five-year-old child is held against his will with his eyes pried open by his grandfather to watch a political debate on TV, no matter how... important it may be. I understand that our young people are not very bright when it comes to American history. That's a tragedy. I understand that our young people are not very bright when it comes to political process. That's a tragedy that unfortunately they will find out eventually in their lives. I know it doesn't mean much now. So I'm with you on all of this.
All right.
But I don't understand how any of that is applicable to one so young. And if you just, please, Mr. Bonafide, I understand that even at the age of five, with all of that mobility and all of that energy, and all of that intelligence, it seems like we can sit our five-year-olds down and they can comprehend these things.
Well, and why am I not allowed to try that, sir?
Well, I'm not even saying that you're not allowed to try it, but when you sit a kid down and you pry his eyes open with your fingers and your thumb...
Yes, that's right, and I didn't hurt him at all. And if you'd seen the film, the Clockwork Orange... In which,
yeah, that was a torture process that was used in some futuristic society.
It was a process. Boy, you don't know anything about the history of the film business, do you? I went and saw that film with Gladys. We were married, I don't know, a few years. It was about a violent punk a dirty, filthy punk, and they made him into a decent young man by sticking his eyeballs. So get those eyes open, and let's take a look at it. You know what I mean?
I saw the movie, sir.
You saw the film, and why am I talking about it?
I saw the movie, and here's what I saw. I saw the character played by Malcolm McDowell, who's a violent gang member. You're right. And so they decide that they're going to change his brain chemistry by brainwashing him. And
boy, you got to make this into War and Peace? God almighty, just say...
I'm going to explain it the way I want to explain it.
All they did, they pried his eyes open. They pried the eyeball open, he looked at a bunch of Nazis, and that's the last time he ever raped a woman in her home. Oh, my. You keep out of it. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, you really have a problem.
I have a problem. Malcolm McDowell raped a woman in a home. And
not Malcolm McDowell.
I mean the punk that he played. And they took that punk, opened up his eyeballs, and said, take a look at that. And it was a Nazi shooting a guy and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get what happened. The kid wasn't violent no more.
In that film... The kid's violent instincts are brainwashed out of him so much that he's no longer able to defend himself, so that when he is set upon by a couple of police officers who want to abuse him and brutalize him, he can't defend himself. And when he's set on by the family of that woman that he raped, and they want to torture him, he can't defend himself.
Good. Good. That's what I say to that. Good.
And so you find that to be the very best way to educate someone. Pry open their eyelids, make them stare at it, and they are helpless in the face of this indoctrination.
I'm not brainwashing my grandson. I just wanted to... You know, I'm going to say something now. I don't mean this. I love that little boy so much. I just wanted that dirty, filthy little brat to look at it. And it
dirty, filthy little brat.
Don't make a big deal out of that. I call him that all the time.
You do, huh?
Yes, I do, and don't make a big deal.
You got the cops coming over there 8-9 times, your daughter calling them. Here's a little boy that you're prying his eyes open.
He loves the hell out of his papa. Don't worry about that. But that lousy little punk...
What are you bawling about?
Bawling? I'm not bawling. I'm so angry that I'm crying because I don't have something to rip apart.
You sure you don't need a little bit of help? You know?
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Are you sure you don't need some kind of help?
Oh, I get it. So I need a mentalist.
I'm asking, do you need a little VA time?
No, I don't need any VA time. I'm telling you that when I sat that little boy down and pried his eyes open and I said, you look at that, because there are men who died, so you would... I said, look at it. And he's 5 years old, and he's staring at it, and the eyeballs are bugged out. I start to laugh. That's when the cop came to the door, and they thought I was half mad because I was laughing hysterically. But I wasn't laughing at the fact that the kid was uncomfortable. I was laughing because his eyeballs were bugged out of his... Oh, forget it.
Hey, you know, Mr. Bonafide, you're your own worst enemy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You think you're doing well. Anybody that tells you no, here's a better way, you think there's some kind of a commie.
No, not a commie. A man, you've never been a Korean veteran? Have you? Had you been?
No.
All right. And a grandpa? Hang it up.
Mr. Bonafide, I thank you for being on our show.
Yeah, sure. Sure you do. When I hang up, you're going to laugh yourself until you urinate. Hang it up. I don't give a sweet. Hang it up.
Who are you talking to?
My grandson.
Well, why don't you hang it up, okay?
No, I want him to hang it. Hang it up. Papa says to hang it up.
I don't want to.
You don't want to. Did you hear that? You heard it. Everyone's a witness. He said, I don't want to.
Yeah?
That's a 5-year-old. Hang that phone up. This is your papa talking to you. I'm older than you. I went to Korea. I can kiss. Hang it up.
Up your...
Up mine.
That's what I heard him say.
The kid, the 5-year-old, told me to stick it way up there. All right, give me the phone. I'll hang it up. Here, I'm going to hang it up. Yeah, it's pissing him off now because he thought it was going to get hung up.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Well, is that the end of the...
So that's how that goes. Thanks so very much to our producer, Bud Dickman, for booking that.
Well, that thought was pretty interesting before he started to pry the kid's eyeball open.
Yeah. That guy's obviously got other issues besides whether there are young people in our society that understand things, you know.
Well, why did that kid cry at the end?
Because I guess the kid didn't want the phone to get hung up. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Still to come, Art Griego is going to discuss how the economy is affecting the wedding industry. He's a wedding photographer. And that's coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and some other news and information for you as well.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. And if you're if you want to talk to me, Art, about, or excuse me, Lloyd, about the education of kids.
Who's Art?
That's my next guest. I apologize. I misspoke.
You've already got me out of the building. I've got a grandson here. Get off of that. Get off my leg, will you? I've got a grandson here. Did you get him? Hold on, Phil.
Well, I can move on, okay?
Hold on, will you? Just please. Get him off of me, will you? Get it off me. My grandson's hanging on to my leg. Papa doesn't want you hanging on. What I said was this. I said that I tried to educate my grandson by making him sit down and get him off of me, will you?
What is he doing?
He's hanging on my leg. You think that's funny, huh?
Yeah.
What is with this kid? I don't understand.
And you ask why the cops have been here 8 times, huh? I'm telling you right now, that kid's the bad seed. You think that this Casey Anthony's got problems? Get it off me. Get away from me. The point that I'm making here...
Do you understand that we started out talking about how we should educate our kids as to American history?
Yes.
And now what we have here is a kid that's the bad seed...
Turn it down. Hold on, Phil. Turn it down. Turn it down. I'll come over there and I'll beat him. I'll beat him with my fists, with my closed fists. I will. There you go. Yeah, that did it, didn't it, huh? Yeah, I wouldn't dare. Now the kid's taunting me. See, this is... Do you feel any differently now, Mr. Henry?
I think if the kid is taunting you and doing things like that, and you think there's a problem with this child, the kid needs to go to a behaviorist. The last thing he needs is you prying his eyeballs open, staring at some TV show.
Last night, we were watching a debate. I wanted it to be a nice moment for me and my grandson. I love him very much, and he loves me. But no, he's got to go get a cookie, and then he comes back and he opens, you know, he's opening drawers, and then he... You know, and I understand he's a little boy, but he's making, you know, breaking wind on purpose. And
a five-year-old doesn't do any of that thing, any of that stuff on purpose. A five-year-old is a five-year-old.
Is that right? Well, you just saw where he... Come here for a minute. Papa wants you to watch the debates with him. Why didn't you? Up mine. You heard that, huh?
No, I didn't.
Well, he just told me up yours.
I did not hear that.
Well, is that supposed to mean what? Is that supposed to mean it didn't happen? Come here for a minute. Ow!
What did he do?
You little... He bit me. I'm telling you right now, Henry. You saw that movie, The Bad Seed?
You got a bigger problem here, man, than teaching children about the political process.
All he needs is discipline.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
That kid is going to, I swear to God, I'm going to be asleep someday, and he's going to set fire to my bed. Oh, don't, come on me, Gladys. You know what that kid's capable of. I know what he's capable of. His mother knows what he's capable of. And the police, the L.A. County Sheriff, know what he's capable of. He just hasn't done it yet. Yeah, that felt good.
Hey, Lloyd, pay attention to me for just a second.
Yes, sir.
It sounds to me like a situation there in your home that you do not have control over. Now, hold on. Before you make any comment at all, I want to just say this. It sounds like a situation in your home, if you could turn that down.
Turn it down, will you? Get the kid to turn it down! I'll kill it! I'll kill the kid! Now he ran down. He loves it. Here's another thing, and this gets that this pisses me off. His mother lets him do it. He runs around here nude, all right? Before he takes his bath, he runs around nude. Now, he runs around nude, and he runs around nude, and he waits to see if we have any people coming over. Then when he sees we have guests, then he especially runs around nude. Now, sooner or later, he's hoping the cops will show up while he's nude. And you know what that means?
I understand.
You know what that means for me?
I understand, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on. Get some clothes on him, will you? I don't care what you want. Get your clothes on.
Is the kid...
His mother. Patsy, put some clothes on that brat before I pick him up, and I swear to God, I'll kick him like a football. I'll kick him like a football. I will. And you know I mean that.
No, you're not going to do that, Lloyd.
I won't? Oh, really? And who are you?
I'm Phil Hendry. You're not going to do that. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a phone call we have here. Wayne in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Wayne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir.
I think he's just enough but abuse, in my opinion.
No, sir. I didn't do anything to that child that he hasn't been begging for.
You bull, okay? My father's a veteran. My father served in the Air Force and is a veteran. My father never treated me. He does anything. You're his grandfather. You should be treating this kid with more respect than what you're doing to him.
That's what I did do. All I did was pried his eyeballs off his eyes.
That's abuse.
That's not abuse. And what about what he did to me?
And pours his eyes open. That is
right.
Abuse, kid.
Right.
No, it's not. I put eye drops in.
Yes, it is.
Huh?
I work with child protection agencies and stuff like that.
I put eye drops in his eyeballs, and I laughed.
Eye drops, that's just like taking a child and say, I'm going to smack you on the behind. Oh, I'm going to baby it now. I'm okay. That's bull crap. You are and you're supposed to be showing your grandson with respect, not abusing him.
Phil,
to respect me. Respect me more than he has.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and that means we are here for you. And we're here to do just one thing. That is lockstep, join hands, and walk right over top of all the meatheads and the idiots that have attempted to make this country such an insufferable place to live in. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. And this hour, we're going to talk with Art Griego about the wedding season. And has the struggling economy affected the wedding industry? It's a wedding season, and photographer Art Griego, who's also done some work as a private pilot. I think we can probably take that off the screen now, bud.
That is pretty interesting.
We're showing a picture that was done of me by an artist named Kanatha Grisvard and Amanda Green. Both of them do these little art pieces, and they send them to me, and they look really strange.
That one looks just like you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Anyway, so Welcome back, folks, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That means you can go over to our website and get a backstage pass and watch the show as well as listen to it. Phil TV in HD, we got it all going on here with high-definition video, and just a beautiful picture right now. I'm sitting in front of the El Pacifico, which is where our broadcast studios are located here in the land of the fog and the sea lions. Now, get yourself a backstage pass, and you'll figure it all out. Don't worry about it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So, as we mentioned, we're in a down economy, and don't we all know it? Especially those of us who own businesses or who have recently started businesses, those of us who are in the midst of perhaps trying to expand a business. Art Griego is with us. And Art, you started out as a and where are you, in Santa Monica?
Phil, I'm at the Santa Monica airport right now. It's kind of busy. I'm in the restaurant right now.
And you started out as a commercial pilot. You went into the business of private charters. And now you're doing photography. You're kind of a renaissance man.
I've been doing photography all of my life, and it was only in the last, I'd say, year that I decided to get into the business of photography for as a commercial enterprise, Phil. So that's when my wife gave me the idea of Wedding Portraits by Art.
And it's called Wedding Portraits by Art?
That's my business. And we will go to weddings and take photographs, not only of obviously the bride and the groom, but of the extended family and the wedding receptions and so forth. And
how is business? So we were talking about the business, the economy being down.
Well, business is very rough. Business is very rough. You have to, in my line of work, at least the way I see it, the best thing you can do is to take a series of photographs at a wedding and hope that one or two of them is noticed by one of the big wedding magazines, and you get the photograph published in Bridal Magazine or Wedding Magazine or one of these. So I am constantly on the lookout for photographs for jobs, really, where that's going to happen. And you'll get hired to do a wedding shoot. You show up, and you have an opportunity to do some wedding. You know, I just saw in the paper today, Phil, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, was it in the paper?
It was in one of the later editions, or maybe I saw it on a website.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner's wedding to Crystal Harris is called off. I haven't had time to look into that. We will cover that in our next hour, but suffice it to say, that would have been a great job, huh?
Oh, it would have been a fantastic job to have. She's a very, very beautiful woman, and Mr. Hefner has a beautiful, without question, a beautiful home. They're the Playboy Mansion where he lives, so that's the kind of a dream job that you would like to have, and unfortunately, that one. I don't know who had that job, but
he's at the job too. So everybody, all the caterers, think of that.
Oh yeah, but it can be a lucrative business. But these days, it's been tougher because I'll show up for a job. I think I have the job in hand, and I show up and I look at the couple, and immediately you sort of feel your shoulders slump a little bit, and the only thing you can do is start to put the equipment back in the bag.
And what do you mean? You look at the couple? You'll show up?
You'll show up and you'll see the couple. And if you put together what I'm telling you right now, with what I said to you a few minutes ago about being able to get a picture into Bridal Shower magazine, being able to get a picture into Modern Bride, if I show up and I see the couple and the bride is going to be not acceptable, you can go ahead and do the job if you want. I choose not to.
When you say that the bride's not acceptable, you're talking about to have a published picture?
Yeah. And just to, the first thing you want is a really beautiful set of pictures.
But isn't that up to the couple?
Well, it's up to the couple, Phil.
Isn't that the I want some beautiful pictures for my wedding. You know, I don't know what the bride or the groom or whoever would say to you, you know.
Well, they want you to come and take the standard array of photographs for their wedding, having to do with the ceremony, having to do the formal portrait, having to do the family portraits. There are a series of them that you have pictures taken of the groom and his groomsmen, the bride and her bridesmaids, so on and so forth.
Right, right, right. So you're there to take these pictures.
I'm there to take the pictures, yes. But the problem that we run into in the wedding photograph business is that you show up and you immediately realize there's no way that you're going to make any money, any real money on this job.
And the real money is your being able to sell one of these photographs to a big magazine?
Yeah.
What if the couple doesn't want you to do that?
Well, I mean, generally it's pretty lucrative. And you'll say it's a limited rights thing. So you can say to the couple, if I'm able to sell one of these photographs or two of them to one of the bridal magazines, you'll get a piece of the fee. And it's a limited use thing.
So they only use it for a certain amount of time.
Right. But if I show up and I see the situation has gone bad. And
I you're using a little bit of code here, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm trying to as professionally as I can.
Well, when you say you show up and the situation's gone bad.
Say it's gone south or it's gone sour. It's like if food goes bad. A wedding shoot will go bad. The same way food goes bad. The way, I shouldn't say this, but I heard in the Casey Anthony trial, you were mentioning they said the smell of a...
Yeah, a decomposing body.
Right. Well, I can tell you right now, a wedding photography job can get as... It'll go as bad as something that smells like that.
And well, I don't know what meaning what, Art? You're not making enough money.
You're not going to make any money. And so, if I get a call and they book me and they say we would like to book you, and
well, don't you meet these people ahead of time?
Not always. They've seen my work. They call me up. They ask me to come down.
So you don't meet them ahead of time.
No.
So they call you up and they book you. You're not signing any contract.
No, they just say, will you please? Yes, I will. Where is it going to be? It's going to be at the Riviera Country Club. It's going to be at Rancho Park. In other words, when they mention it's going to be at some high-end place.
Then you're more likely to want to take the job?
No, absolutely. And then you show up, and everything has just rotted away from the... It smells like that car. Yeah.
All right, I don't understand. I don't think that's a very apropos comparison. I don't want to use that. But you're saying...
What I'm saying is the job went bad.
Because the bride is what?
The bride is too big. She's not going to be lovely enough to get me any kind of... believe me, Phil, when I tell you, every bride is beautiful. Every bride is beautiful.
Well, if every bride were beautiful, Art, you would be, taking these jobs.
Well, I take the job if I need the job, but it's not every bride is beautiful, but not every bride is beautiful enough for wedding portraits by Art.
And because you're not going to make any money selling or leasing the rights of that photograph.
That is correct, because she's not the slender, look at. I can tell you this, Phil, the Crystal Harris-Hugh Hefner wedding was the event of the season. Why? Because she is, in the parlance of the street, not the way I talk, not the way you talk, but the way someone who lives in the gutter would talk. But let's just be clear, in that she's a piece of ass. Okay.
All right, well, if we're not talking like we live in the street, let's not do it then.
No, I was using their terminology.
Let's use terminology that a couple of educated men would use.
All right.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's a beautiful woman, absolutely. And forgive me, Phil, but I wanted to, that doesn't hit home as much.
And to me it does. It's perfectly fine. So you have a beautiful woman, and this is a job that you want to do. I have to tell you, you want to go to weddings, and then you see that the bride is too large or too fat or whatever you call it.
I did not use that word.
Okay. You turn around and leave?
You have to.
And what happens to these people who had an understanding that you were going to photograph their wedding?
The understanding is, and I think, and that's why I'm on your show tonight, I want people to understand that you're not going to take pictures of a wedding when the bride is that size.
And what size are we talking about?
We're talking about a size that she's going to take up. I don't know what you mean.
What, when a bride is that size, you don't want to take the picture, the wedding pictures. What size are we talking about?
We're talking about a woman big enough to fill up. If you're talking about an 8x10, let's say, she's going to fill most of one half of it.
I don't know what that means.
It's, well, you can take a look. If you take an 8x10 and...
All right, I'm going to do this on camera. In fact, people can see at home. Here's a sheet of paper. Bud, how many inches?
Hold on. How many inches is what?
The paper.
Well, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Let's just say this is an 8x10. One half of this fully?
The entire half. But it would vary, of course, because I don't think that's a real 8x10. But if she's big enough to dwarf things around her, or if it's just a case that there are other problems, such as the, you know, the teeth. I mean, I don't know where how far you want me to go with this.
Well, in other words, if she's ugly?
I don't want to use that word.
Well, that's where you're going. She's fat and ugly.
No, Phil, I would rather not say. I'm just simply saying, you asked me how was business.
Yeah, it sounds to me like business is pretty good and you're turning jobs down. You know?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's, wait a minute. Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. You're going out to a job that you have been hired to do. You see that the bride is either too big or her teeth are bad or something. So you said to me that your shoulders slump, you feel bummed out, you put the stuff back in the bag, and you split.
I have no choice at that point.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like business is bad. Hold on for just a minute here, Art. We have to take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is a man who, Art Griego, who does wedding photographs, but turns down jobs if the bride is too large or if she's got bad teeth or something because he can't lease these photos to big magazines. And I don't know if any of you ever had an experience where a photographer showed up and then turned around and left. But that's what he's done on a couple of jobs. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we're in an economy, and he's turning jobs down because the bride's too big. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Lloyd, we have Art Griego with us. Mr. Griego is a wedding photographer. We've talked to Art in the past about aviation issues also, but you have been doing this for the last year, Wedding Portraits by Art. And you're saying that you're struggling.
Well, business has been really bad. If it doesn't pick up, you know, like everything else, we certainly would be looking towards some sort of a helping hand from our government, like any business would want. But we are I'm in big trouble, you know, and every business is. I understand that.
But you're turning business down.
No, I'm not. I'm not turning business down. I don't understand when you say turning business down. I can't use it. I go to a job that's gone bad. I go to a job that has gone bad, like a bad, like, you know, exposed meat in a refrigerator.
And how is a job, when you say you go to a job and it's gone bad?
Yes.
You're saying that you go to a job and you see a bride.
I can't do it. I can't make any money with that. She's that size.
But you could still take the gig and take the photographs, right?
It's not any kind of real money. The real money, the real home run money, is being able to lease some of these photographs. I can't do it, Phil. I'm telling you, I would love to be able to do it, but I can't do it when you look at a bride that looks like that. And some of these weddings are a little rural, and the teeth, if you're taking a picture and the teeth are not symmetrical, the light catches a tooth, and it literally can blind you to death. It'll blind your eyes. It'll burn the eyes right out of your skull if the light catches a tooth that is sticking out. So,
I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. I don't know anything about photography. I've never heard of a guy turning down jobs.
I'm not turning down jobs. They're going rotten on me. They're hostile to the economy.
Well, you have not made the case, though, Art, that the jobs are, quote, going rotten on you. All you're saying is you can't take pictures of a bride who's too big. 877-876-PHIL. John in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
This guy is a wacko. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know how much it costs to get wedding pictures at a wedding? Thousands of dollars.
That's exactly right.
Hours,
exactly right.
Thousands.
No,
how much
do
your wedding pictures cost? This guy is a wacko.
I don't make thousands. I don't make thousands. The problem is you're going to make... First of all, are you a photographer?
No, I'm not a photographer. I have friends.
Well, then you don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it.
Come on,
I'm a guy.
Photographers. I have friends. And I just get away.
You have friends.
As a DJ, you're a wacko, man. You can go out there. You've got a lucrative business. Be an American. Get out there and work. Here it is.
No, I don't have a lucrative business. I don't have a lucrative business when I show up, and she's the size of a house.
You bet. Man, I wish if I had the skills and I had a camera, I'd go out to...
Exactly. You wish. You wish you had the skills. You wish you had the skills. Good point. You don't. I do.
Why don't you use your skills?
I am. I'm telling you something about the business that you don't know. You think you know the business. You don't.
Hey.
No, you don't know anything about my business.
To get pictures. It takes thousands of dollars to get pictures.
Let me ask you, how do you know all of this? How many times have you been married? What are you talking? Where are you getting this information?
I have a friend that's a wedding photographer. I have a friend.
You have a friend.
He gets $1,000.
Well, he said that.
Wedding as a DJ to do wedding pictures. You're talking about a couple of $1,000s. And some of these guys do two weddings in a weekend.
You can do.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You can do, Mr. Henry. I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
You can do $2,000 if you get the job. If you show up and she's too big, you can't do the job.
No. Nobody's firing. No one's firing you from the job, right?
No. What do you mean no one's firing me from the job?
You go there. You got the job. You can do the job.
You can't. You can't do.
That's not good business.
How am I supposed to do it when she's that big?
Man, I think you need to go to business school or something.
No, you need to go to photographer school so you know what my business is about. I'm not trying to tell you your business, whatever it is. I will tell you that when you show up and she's the size of what, you know, use your imagination. No way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That man, in my opinion, was, I agree with him. He was almost apoplectic. He couldn't believe what he was hearing.
Well, you know, that he can be as apoplectic. He's got a friend who's a DJ at a wedding. He's got a friend who's a wedding photographer. Well, here's a guy that's really upwardly mobile. You know,
well, he's talking about a couple of people that he knows that make all this money.
Well, you can't make that kind of money.
Yes, if you turn around and you walk off of a wedding because the bride is too large, as you put it.
All right, you want me to be, I'll be great. She's fat. Fat and ugly.
Well, that's pretty cruel and crude for a guy who's supposed to work with people for a living. A man who is supposed to make a beautiful day even more beautiful, a guy who is supposed to present to the happy couple portraits of themselves and their families in a happy moment. She's too fat and ugly, you say, so you turn around and you walk out on the job.
You have not given me the opportunity here, Phil, to explain to you and to your audience just exactly how important it is that they drop a few pounds before I can do anything with the picture. Otherwise, they're going to look at me when I walk into Bridal Shower magazine or Modern Bride, and they're going to say, oh, here he comes. It's Griego again with more of these beasts.
And all right, hold on for a minute. 877, here it's Griego again. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking about...
Phil Hendry. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have with us Art Griego from Portraits by Art as we talk about the wedding season, June. You've had jobs that you have walked out on because you say they are hostile to your economics. And I want you to define that. Other than saying you show up, Art, and the bride is too large, or she doesn't have the right figure, or something.
Phil, that's it in a nutshell. I'm not here to judge any human being or to say that someone is not beautiful or what have you, but I know what my business requires. If I show up for a job to take pictures, a wedding portrait, and the two people that I'm looking at, you know, you want to just... You feel the disappointment. That's all I'm saying. You feel like you've been kicked in the gut. When you turn the corner and you look at the, I forget what it's called, where they stand under it.
You're a photographer and you don't know the names of these things?
No, I don't. I call it the archway.
I mean, I don't either, but I would think you'd know this.
You don't either, but you're telling me, I would just point this out, Mr. Henry, what the arch thing is for weddings, not everybody knows.
Yeah. I would think that a wedding photographer would. So you turn the corner.
And what?
You say you turn the corner.
Well, I just turn the corner and I see some, you know, and then I take that picture to Bridal Magazine. And I have been more than one time had a receptionist at Modern Bride saying, here comes Art and his petting zoo. Here comes Art.
And you're telling me that's what they're calling these brides?
The ones that when they're bat size, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about bridal pictures and why some of them he can't take. Here is Paul in Lafayette, Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to know how he gets work. If this is genuinely his name, and my mom's a professional wedding photographer, you're putting your name out there on a national photographer to show up and shoot the wedding regardless of their of what they look like. I don't understand how you get work.
I just have to ask you, Paul, to watch your language a little bit there. Art, go ahead. That's all right.
Yeah, well, the gentleman just said the... What do you want me to say?
I think you should answer his question.
His question was, how do I get... I get a lot of work. Get a lot of work.
Because
people want...
Oh, sorry.
Well, they want to have their pictures taken. And
okay.
So I show up. And what have they done to me? See, I'm giving them my job. I'm coming with my cameras. I'm coming with my lights. I'm coming with all of the stuff that I got, my assistant. And your mother does the work, so you know. And what are they giving me? They're giving me a bride that looks... They're giving me a bride with the big, you know, shoulders and...
Shoulders.
It just sounds... It sounds like you're in the wrong business because the day...
No, I'm in the right business.
Well, the day that my mom walks off a wedding is the last day she shoots a wedding because, you know, in this day and age of technology and how fast your name travels with Yelp and everything... Why would anyone go to Art when he's just, you know, depending on how you look, he's going to determine whether he's going to pole vault himself into a weddings magazine?
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. When your mother takes a picture, does she try to sell pictures to Modern Bride and to big magazines? I'm sure she does.
Yes, of course. Naturally, yes, but other than that, she does it to capture special moments in people's lives. She doesn't do it to capitalize on it.
Let's talk turkey here for a minute. Yeah, let's talk turkey here for a minute. Your name's Paul. Paul, you sound like a good guy, and I know you love your mother, but let's talk business for a second.
What?
No, you know, I'm very happy to go and capture a happy moment, blah, blah, blah. That's great. I'm here to make myself a nice dollar. I want to make a beautiful dollar, okay? Now, I turn the corner, and there is a bride with the big, I can only say the big shoulders. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
What are you talking about?
The big woman.
Okay.
I can't do it. I have a physical inability.
Is that
you understand what I'm saying, Paul?
Depending on how you look, that determines whether you're going to shoot them. Like, I just couldn't see the
name. That's a very good point.
You know what? I got to go.
You have to. I don't know how your mother does it. She's going to show up, and she turns the corner, and there's a woman there who's got that big, thick neck.
She finds the beauty of every individual.
That's what you do with the picture. All right, Paul, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Dave. Go ahead, Dave. That's what a photographer is.
Phil, I don't need him to tell me what a photographer is. I know what a photographer is.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think that man from Arch, he ought to be put out of business. I mean, people like him, look at Karen Carpenter. I don't know if you're old enough to remember her, but she died because of people like him.
Who are you talking about?
Karen Carpenter had anorexia.
Exactly.
I'm not asking a woman,
exactly.
a woman to starve herself.
Because
I'm not
people judgmental on their weight, on their size, on everything. And he is being very judgmental on
I'm saying life, judgmental.
On their appearance.
What?
Now, if he wants to be photography, that's what he needs to do.
Right.
What does that
because
mean?
If exactly
you want to photograph really
like he's doing.
Good-looking people, then go out and photograph good-looking people.
I do wedding photographs.
Well,
wedding
he's ugly
portraits
on
by
the
art.
Inside, I'll tell you that.
I had the... Well, sir, I went and started a business. I had cards made. I have a sign in the door, wedding portraits by art. Now, you want me to go ahead and set fire to all of that figuratively and go out in the street someplace with a bunch of other sweating idiots? No, not me.
Well, what do you
no
think
way.
You are? You're being judgmental to every woman that's walking the face of the earth that their most beautiful day in the world is the day they get married. And what difference
you got
does it make whether she's a size 1 or a size 21?
The
that
difference
is,
her
day,
is...
And you're hired to take the pictures, and I'll tell you what, if I hired someone to take pictures of my daughter's wedding and they walked out, I'd be their worst nightmare. Because you wouldn't
well, have the sir. You recognize my right that if I were to take pictures at your daughter's wedding and I turn the corner and she's got all that thickness, you recognize my right to leave, don't you?
The thickness.
Yeah, well,
what are you talking?
You don't contract to hire to do a job and base it just on someone's appearance. I'll tell you what.
I want to know. Just hold on for just a second, Dave.
When you leave this world and go to the other side, we're all level at the foot of the cross. And when the Lord
come on. Look, I don't play that. I don't play that, okay? Yeah, that's fine, sir, and I'm sure you're right.
I hope you go out of business.
I'm sure you're right, sir. I'm sure that you're right that I'll burn in hell. But before I do, we're on my time.
No, I can't judge.
You know,
I can't judge.
We're on my time. You know, as Jason Patrick said in that great movie, I forget what, Your Friends and Neighbors, he said, you know, if it turns out that this God thing is real, then I'll have to deal with it. Until then, we're on my time. All right?
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, whatever, man.
What do you mean, whatever? What do you mean, whatever?
Well, you're the guy that's saying whatever.
No, I thought you did.
No, you did. You said whatever.
Well, I'm just trying to tell this guy that I'm here to make a living, not to take pictures of wildlife.
Boy, you know something? I can only repeat what the other chap said. And, Dave, thank you very much for your call. You know.
Well, sir, I have to tell you, I'm the piece of work. Why is it that I have to take pictures of these big women, and I can't sell any to Modern Bride magazine, and I'm eating out of a can? Every night, I'm opening a can up and eating out of it.
Why do you eat out of a can?
Because it reminds me I want to eat out of a can until I make some real good money.
Well, I don't know what that means. Thank you very much, Dave, for your call. 877.
You don't know what it means.
877-876-PHIL. I'm talking here with Art Griego.
No, I want to know. What do you mean you don't know what it means?
I don't know. What does that mean, you're eating out of a can?
I eat out of cans until such time as I sell a job to Modern Bride, and then I'll sit down with a plate and silverware and a napkin.
And why are you eating out of the can?
Because... I'm poor.
Are you telling me that you don't have silverware?
You don't understand. Yes, I've got silverware, and yes, I've got plates. But I'm not, you can't talk. The economy's bad, and I don't even want to think about it. I'm depressed, and I'm eating out of a can.
Why don't you eat off of plates and use silverware and the napkins that you say you own?
Mr. Henry, you're harassing me.
No, I'm asking you. You said you eat out of a can.
I do. Every night I open a can up and I eat over a sink. How does that... Do you do that?
No, I don't.
Well, of course you don't, because you make good money.
Well, are you starving to death?
Am I what?
Are you starving to death?
I'm eating out of a can.
Well, what you're telling me is this. You're eating out of a can so you can get sympathy where you could actually afford to eat off of plates, and you don't.
I I have not referenced that at all.
All right, well, I don't even want to talk about that because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life. We're going to continue, though, talking about your business, why you're turning down business. And
well, this other gentleman who was talking to me about me going to hell, now, that's a new low on any radio program that I've been on.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. The only thing that we need to discuss here is this idea that the women that you photograph, if they're too large, you get this reputation at bridal magazines that here comes art in his petting zoo. And you're not in the process, you're not in the business of photographing wildlife. And all of these other insults.
I don't want to be insulting, Phil. I don't want to be insulting. You're absolutely right. I'm trying to make a living.
You are making a living.
How are you figuring that?
You're eating out of a can just for effect. You said that you got silverware and all of this bullcrap you're giving me, man. You are...
Well, I'm glad you can laugh at another man's misery.
I'm not laughing at anybody's misery. You're not poor. You're eating out of a can.
I'm eating out of a can.
But you could eat off of plates.
I wish you wouldn't continually go down that road.
I'm going down that road because you can afford to eat off of a plate. You can afford to use silverware. You can afford to have napkins. You can afford to probably sit there and, excuse me, make yourself dinner. But you won't do it. You'll eat out of a can until you sell some big job to Modern Bride magazine. Isn't that right?
You know what, Phil? You're not Jose Feliciano. Who's the gentleman that...
Jose Feliciano.
Who's the gentleman that is the lawyer?
Jose Baez.
Jose, you're not Jose Baez telling me that I left some kid in the park or killed. I'm here. You're not going to tell me. I'm not leaving a stink in anyone's car. They're leaving it in mine.
Well, now you're getting emotional.
You're darn right I'm emotional. I'm not getting out of someone's sunbird and leaving the smell of goat in it. They're leaving it mine.
Because you hired to do the job and you got there and she was too fat and you had to leave. That's their fault. They leave the smell in your car.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yes.
877-876-PHIL. What do you think about a wedding photographer who shows up, you hire him to photograph your wedding, your reception? He shows up and you, your husband-to-be, your wife-to-be, whoever, you're not good enough. You don't look good enough. He turns around and he leaves. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our next hour, of course, is our news and information hour, and we have with us Art Griego, who is a wedding photographer. Wedding Portraits by Art has been in business now for the last year. And we're talking about a very unusual business practice here, Art. You're saying that your business is down, the economy is bad, you're struggling like all other businesses, and yet you're turning business away. And that's the bottom line here.
The bottom line is I'm struggling like any other business, and we are asking for stimulus help from a government that is very happy to give it to large auto industries, happy to give it to every other nonsensical and ridiculous idea. They want to build a bridge to, I heard about a bridge to nowhere. I don't know what that is. Why are we not allowed what we want? I don't know.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yes, Phil. I'm familiar with Mr. Griego. How are you?
I don't know that I remember you, ma'am.
Well, you were hired to photograph my wedding.
Okay.
You remember her?
Well, her. Hold on.
Mr. Henry, this is Marilyn Donnelly. I am pre-surgical. I present as a woman, but I am a transgender.
I see. Okay.
And I was recently married, and I hired this man.
Mr. Henry, if I could jump.
Please allow me. I hired this man, and I can tell you, Mr. Henry, that I take yoga, that I am at least three times a week in the gym, that I don't weigh a pound over 123 pounds, that I'm tall.
Yeah, why'd you tell him how tall?
Excuse me, I'm tall.
You're okay, so you're still technically male?
I present as a woman.
Okay, you're pre-surgical, you're about to have your surgery?
Yes.
Can I say something here, Phil? I walked into this wedding and, you know...
Well, all right, Marilyn is saying she's not fat.
When you say she...
That when she says she's not fat and she's not big and she doesn't have the thick neck...
Okay, you're right. I turned the corner and I always like to turn a corner. I never want to come straight on. I want to turn a corner. And first of all, I had a very hard time finding a corner to turn. And I kept asking, there were people, I said, is there a corner I can turn to see? I don't want to just walk straight in. I finally turn a corner, and I see this big, tall, and I didn't know what it was.
How dare you?
What does that mean?
It means 6'3",
and he refused to take our pictures, so he's a bigot.
No, ma'am, I'm not.
He's a bigot. He's an ignoramus, and I thought you should know.
No, I bet.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much, Phil. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Marilyn. 877-876-PHIL.
Are you going to let that stand?
You admitted to going to this wedding, and you admitted to turning around and leaving that wedding. The woman, she presents as a woman. She's about to have her surgery. She's transgender. She wasn't fat. You refused to take the pictures. That's on you. Here is Amber. Amber, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, please.
All right. So you say that you're eating out of a can, but you're the one turning away the work. You've obviously got plenty of weddings booked. Do your job, and you wouldn't have money to eat.
No, it doesn't work like that. You just heard the last lady. I turned the corner, and I got a transgender, I don't know what it is. If I take a
but
picture of
that... But what difference does that make? If you're going to be paid for the job, do your job, and then you'll live fine. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to be... Well, I'll be haunted forever by the image of that. That's number one. And number two... I can't take that to Modern Bride and say, here's a, how do you like this, Modern Bride? A transgender 6'3" freak.
Oh, man, are you an ass.
You are absolutely ridiculous. You're disgusting.
You're a real ass.
People. You won't take pictures of transgender people. Who cares? Just do your job. You're a photographer, right? Take the pictures.
Yes, I am. I'm a damn good photographer. I wish there was something I could take a picture of. That's how good I am. I am so good. I wish to God...
If you're so good, you would have already sold something to Modern Bride.
I can't find a hot...
You can't find a hot-looking bride, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I was hoping for the Crystal Harris job.
Oh, you and a million other guys, man. Are you kidding me? You know,
you
have to... If there's
disgusting.
Ma'am, why am I disgusting when the Crystal Harris job would have put me over the top? And what do you think that thing did? She dumps Hefner, is having an affair with some guy that parks cars.
That's none of your business, man. That's none of your business what happens. They don't have to get married
Especially
to keep you in business.
You're a photographer.
Sorry.
If you would take the pictures, yeah. You would be able to eat fine. This just doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't take
You obviously have work.
I am an artist, Amber, and I'm sure you understand, being an artist, when I turn the corner and I see a woman who has the big, she's got masculine shoulders. All the air goes out of me. All of my dreams.
You know, you sound like a very weak man.
What is that supposed to mean?
You sound like a man that you can't really take life's highs and lows. You just, every little thing is going to screw you up.
Mr. Henry, if you walked into your radio studio every day and there was no microphone, how would you feel?
Don't give me that bull crap, man. This is not equivalent to that. Hey,
no,
listen, thank you, Amber.
You have a camera. You're choosing not to use it.
Okay. But Mr. Hendry is choosing not to go buy a new microphone. Oh, forget it. You guys don't understand.
You're an idiot. It's a Phil Hendry Show. Our news and comment hour coming up next.
How are you doing? You're coming back.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.